We're continuing our series, Paper Tigers, and you know, a paper tiger refers to something that seems powerful. Can we turn the monitors off, please? You know, a paper tiger refers to something that seems powerful, intimidating, but it's actually weak, you know, ineffective. And sometimes the challenges in life that we face appear daunting. They're overwhelming at first, maybe. But with God, they're ultimately powerless. They're just paper tigers. Now, we're going to do a little dating here, but how many of you have seen the Poseidon Adventure? Yeah, they've remade that several times, titled it a little bit different. But I remember seeing it the first time. My grandma took us to the Roxy Theater in Springfield. She picked my brother and I up, and we were jazzed to get to see this movie. And we'd seen the trailers on TV, and it raised the question, who will survive? And the advertisement promised that it was hell upside down. And the movie delivered on that. The plot, it kind of centered around the SS Poseidon. It's this aged luxury liner. And it was heading from New York to Athens, Greece. And it was to be decommissioned. And despite the fear that the boat had some safety issues, they head on out into the open water. And spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, but things go terribly wrong. There's an earthquake. It creates this massive wave, which capsizes the ship. And just in a matter of moments, things go from Happy New Year's celebration to hell upside down. And the rest of the movie, it kind of depicts the struggle. And it's all about survival. Now, I will tell you, I have a lot of fond memories going to the movies because my grandma would take us regularly. And at this particular movie, she fell asleep right after the ship capsized. And she helped, though, because we had sound effects during it, her snoring. And yeah, it was early Dolby sound, you know. But she woke up at the end of the movie, just as they were cutting the hull out and the people were being rescued. And so, you know, often, you know, she would take us, but that day she was exhausted, she was tired, and I know why. Just a few months before that, my grandpa had died unexpectedly. Her whole world got turned upside down with that, and it really set in motion some difficult situations. She had financial storms almost immediately. It followed with she had to sell her home. She was forced to change jobs so that she would have health insurance and stuff. And so she's working long, hard hours just to make it. And storms were raging. She was hurting. And I'm sure of that. But what I noted about her was she kept pressing on, kept moving forward. It's kind of funny, on the car ride home that evening, Grandma goes, "Wasn't that a great movie?" That's what my brother and I did. We just laughed. He said, "Sure, Grandma." But have you ever been afraid in a storm? Have you ever had your world turned upside down? You know, suddenly everything changes and it's about survival all of a sudden. You know, Lord, deliver me. You ever prayed that prayer? I have prayed that prayer many times in my life. Lord, deliver me in this. And I have learned that God hears those prayers and you can trust God. You know, Jesus said, he says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have" what? Troubles. "But take heart, I've overcome the world, Jesus said. You know, sometimes the sea will rage. Sometimes the waves will surge. You know, sometimes the sea gets really, really rough in life. And it'll turn you upside down. I mean, sometimes in life, you will have difficulties and problems. When I read the New Testament, there are few people that face the kind of difficulties the Apostle Paul faced. And yet, Paul followed God very faithfully. He trusted God in the middle of the struggles. You know, 2 Corinthians, he writes, he says, instead, in everything we do, show that we are God's servants, here we go, by patiently enduring troubles, hardships, and difficulties. I don't like that. But friends, we show the kind of Christ followers we are by how we respond to problems and difficulties. In fact, your reaction to a difficulty speaks volumes about your emotional maturity and your spiritual maturity. And what I'm about to say is going to upset some of you. I know that. But if you bail, if you run from difficulties, it's actually a sign you're not very mature emotionally and spiritually. Friends, you learn in difficulties. In fact, most growth comes through difficult times. Today's story, it's kind of a Poseidon adventure. It's one of many storms that Paul would face in his life. It's recorded in Acts 27. I'm not going to cover all of it, but you might read it this week. But Paul's a prisoner. He's being taken to Rome by ship to face trial. And this trip involves him changing ships along the way. And the trip is taking way longer than you would have expected, and it's due to the weather. The weather's horrible. It's getting late in the season. Winter's coming. It's the wrong time to be in that kind of a voyage. And Paul says this, men, I see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to the ship and cargo and to our own lives also. God gave him a vision of that. But the captain, the owner of the ship, the centurion that's escorting Paul to be tried, ignores the warning Paul gave him, that God gave them. Friends, if you read the entire chapter, they sail because they're impatient. They really want to get to that next harbor because it's a winter harbor. You could winter there. And so they leave the port, and this devastating storm shows up. They end up shipwrecked, so a little spoiler alert where we're going there. But life has shipwrecks, doesn't it? I mean, some of you have had emotional shipwrecks. You've lost your bearing. You've lost your energy, your mojo, so to speak. Some of you have had relational capsizes. You thought everything was fine, and then it just blew apart. You know, some of you have had vocational wrecks, health wrecks. I mean, we could go on and on. And initially, I think what happens in those moments, you kind of look around, you assess what's happened, and then you go, how did I get here? How'd this happen? Friends, in that moment, it's time to pray. It's time to talk to God about it. The psalmist says this, I tried to think this problem through, but it was too difficult for me until I went to your temple. You know, one of the reasons to come to church, there are many. I mean, we come to worship. We come to get God's perspective on things, to see if God has anything to say to us. But it also helps you figure stuff out. You know, most every major decision in my life, every turning point in my life, You know where it happened? At church. You know, before I went, I had no idea. I just went. I didn't know anything was going to happen that morning. But then I heard God, maybe in a song like we just heard, a message. Maybe God spoke through a piece of scripture. Maybe it was someone out in the commons. But it changed me. And my point is, you never know. You never know. I mean, what if I had missed those moments? What if I hadn't been there to hear what God had to say that day? I mean, friends, those kind of things change you significantly. I mean, it's just something to think about. You know, that morning when you get up and go, don't know if I'm going to need to go. That may be the morning God speaks. In fact, many times I think that's what happens. But the sailors, they decide they're going to sail the Mediterranean Sea. After Paul warned them, he said, God says we shouldn't do this. It's going to be a disaster. But they do it anyway. You know, they make mistakes that I think are very common mistakes we make when we end up in these storms in our lives. You know, we listen to the wrong advice. You ever done that? Look what Scripture says. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, who was telling them what God had said, he followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. Paul warned him, God says, do not do this. Don't sail. But the experts said, hey, it's okay. We're going to sail. And here's the deal. It's pretty simple in my mind. God tells you something to do or tells you don't do something, you listen. You listen. The world is full of experts, or so-called experts. God trumps all the experts all the time, period. Period. You know, another common mistake I think people make is you go with the crowd, right? You know, the scripture says, since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority, see that? The majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. There were 276 people on the boat, we know. The majority decided, and when you read the chapter, I really think it was a heavy majority decided that they would go ahead and sail. And something that I figured out, I don't know if you figured this out, the majority, oftentimes wrong. But everybody's doing it. So? But everybody. So? You know, the Israelites, they leave in slavery, been slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years. They're heading to the promised land that God said he would give them. And there's this point where they're in the desert and the majority want to go back to Egypt, back to slavery. They were wrong. Friends, do not, hear this, do not base your morality, your values, the way you live on the majority, on popular opinion. Peer pressure keeps a lot of people from doing what God wants them to do in life. I've seen it over and over and over. You know, another mistake we make is we just look at the circumstances or the situation. You know, the story says when a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Paul says, don't sail. God says there's going to be a bad storm if we do this. But they looked at their situation. and they saw a gentle wind. They saw an opportunity. Friends, just because something looks good does not mean it's the right thing for you. In fact, I believe sometimes Satan will arrange things just to deceive you, you know, to set you up, to mess you up. And it could be a good thing. Or it appears that way. You know, just because the door is open doesn't mean you should go through it. I mean, you should not accept every job that gets offered to you. You shouldn't date everyone who asks you out. You shouldn't do everything you have an opportunity to do. And I'm going to say that again. You shouldn't do everything that you have an opportunity to do. Every opportunity, you need to talk to God about it. Ask God, hey, what do you want me to do? This looks like a great opportunity, but hey, what do you think? It looked good. It looked like a great opportunity to sail. It looked like they could get to a safe harbor, but God had already said no. It looked clear. But friends, guess what? They headed right into the storm. It looked like everything was good for a little bit. They're kind of cruising, you know, moving along. I see people do that quite often. Ah, see, it was good, and they're just, things are great, and it's going really good. It looked like great sailing, and then the storm hits. And it turns their world upside down. Storms hit, it's difficult, isn't it? Now, I want to be fair to Paul. Paul's a prisoner. He has no choice. He is forced onto the ship. He's forced into the storm, and he ends up shipwrecked. Something he had no control over. Not all shipwrecks in your life are your fault. Some happen because you're in the wrong place, the wrong time. Those are the difficult ones, aren't they? I mean, some of you are in a storm right now. Maybe you're shipwrecked today. How do you survive? My best advice is do not focus on the shipwreck. It will wreck you if you do that. But you keep praying and you keep moving forward. You don't focus on the why. A lot of people get hung up there. But you focus on what? What does God want me to learn through this? Paul says this. He says, in this small and temporary trouble we suffer, will bring us a tremendous and eternal glory much greater than the trouble. Friends, you got to remember that storm is temporary. Storms are always temporary. But the rewards are lasting. You know, God's purpose is always permanent. Paul wants you to know, and we talked about this a lot last week, so I'm just going to breeze over it a little bit, but even when you do stupid stuff, we've all done that, right? Right? God can use it. Even when people hurt you intentionally, God will use it. Even when Satan jams you up, God will use it. God can bring good out of any storm, any shipwreck. God's purpose is greater than your problem. God's purpose is greater than your pain. You know, God can bring good out of anything. So we got to pray. And we got to fight and not give up. And we got to look beyond the problem and consider, hey, what's the benefit here? What good can I find? I'm not saying what you're going through is good, but what good can you find in the midst of the struggle? Paul says we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strength of confidence, hope of salvation. You know, God wants us to learn something in the storms, in the shipwrecks. There's always a purpose that's positive in it, no matter what it is. And just a little heads up, I have figured out if I don't learn something in the storm I'm facing, I'll go through a storm like it again, or something very similar to it, until I get it. You know, God's more interested in developing your character than making you comfortable. That made some of you uncomfortable, didn't it? But that's how God works. You know, God's more interested in you becoming more like Jesus Christ than making things easy for you. And what happens is in the storms, they help you grow. They help you get perspective. And I know some of you are facing some major difficulties today. You know, it may be a health storm. It may be a relational one or financial one. Maybe your ship has been capsized. But God made sure you were here today to hear this, because God has a word for you. And that is pray. Pray and fight and keep fighting and don't give up and keep praying and looking where God wants you to go. God wants you to grow. He wants you to develop so that you become the person that he created you to be, that he's called you to be. What happens to you is not as important as what happens in you. You know why? Because what God does in you is what you take to eternity with you. You know, when you're in the storm, how do you respond? You know, typically we do stuff that's not very helpful at all. You know, Paul says the ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and we were driven along. When storms rage in our life, too many times we drift. It's what we do. Paul's ship, it's in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. You know, they haven't seen the sun for 14 days, it says in the story. They can't find their bearings at all. They haven't seen the stars, so they have no idea where they are. They've given up trying to head anywhere. They just shut everything down and they just let the sea take them where it wants. They're just drifting. People do it all the time. You know, when storms hit, if you're not careful, you just start drifting through life. I mean, no goals anymore, no objective, no dreams, you know, no purpose. Just survive, get by. You know, you get to that point where you're like, why even take and make any effort here? Just surviving. Friends, problems happen and storms happen. And one of the things you gotta just be committed to is praying. And not losing your ambition, not losing your dreams, not losing direction of some sort. So they're being driven by the waves. They're drifting along in the storm. The storm doesn't let up. It just keeps beating the boat to death. Paul says, we took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they begin to throw the cargo overboard. Wow, that's a storm. It's battering him. You know, Scripture says they do it so they can lighten the load. They're throwing their tackle overboard, it says in Scripture. They're throwing their cargo overboard. They're discarding things into the sea that they really, really need. They're even preparing to throw some of the prisoners overboard. But friends, it's a common response people have when they're in storms. You know, when difficulties increase, the pressures get unbearable. You ever been there? The tendency is you start abandoning things. Values, relationships, you wall people off, ignore the texts, the phone calls, even abandon dreams. You start unplugging. Giving up, and you just start chucking things overboard, one after another, and typically, it's a very impulsive response. Don't do it. It's not helpful. You know, in the storm, especially when they're intense, you have got to guard against a thing called despair. Because it will creep in. You know, Scripture says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, it was 14, we know from other places in the story, the storm continued raging, we finally gave up what? All hope of being saved. They've been through so much, they've chucked almost everything that they needed overboard, and now they give up all hope. And friends, I will tell you, in life, hope is the last thing to go. And when it does, well, watch out. Paul realizes the crew and the people aboard have given up hope. And he encourages them, but typical Paul, he goes kind of, I got some bad news for you and some good news. What you want first, you know? And he says, so keep up your courage, men. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. In other words, everybody's going to make it here. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. They had forgotten one thing very critical, that even in the storm, God was in control. God has not left you. Someone needs to hear that God's not only with you, he's for you. He'll help you through whatever it is. The question is not, will he help you? The question is, will you trust him? You know, an angel appeared to Paul, tells him, the ship's not going to be destroyed. God's going to save you and everyone on here. And so Paul, he's relaying this information. And it's interesting because there's a point in the story when it gets really bad that some of the people are starting to buy into what Paul's saying. And they're listening to him. But there's some, they're preparing, they're like, let's throw the prisoners overboard, help us out a lot, you know? And then some of the sailors, the salty ones especially, they're like, it's time to abandon ship, you know? I'm going to get my stuff and we're going. Then Paul says to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. I love this. So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboats and let them drift away. They cut the ropes that were securing the lifeboats, the things they were going to jump on, the things that they were sure was going to save them. They get rid of them. Now everybody has to stay. There's no way out. You ever done that in your life? Cut the ropes to the lifeboats? So there's not an option. So you got to stay and work through it. You know, start trying to navigate whatever it is in the storm, whatever area, I don't care. You can pick your area. You stay with the ship. You got to see it through somehow. You know, you don't abandon your values. You don't opt for the easy way. That is something, young people, hear that. You don't retreat from the tough stuff. You got to stay on the ship. It is never what God wants for us to run from difficult situations. Never. God wants us to learn. God wants us to grow. God wants us to keep moving forward. It doesn't mean you don't make changes. Don't mishear me. But you don't run from problems. Because guess what? You just run into more of them. So what's the right response when life gets difficult, when you're in the storm, when you're just find yourself shipwrecked and messed up? First thing, confess your part. You know, you own what it is you can own that you brought on yourself, you know? And you go, well, I only had 20% of the, I was only 20%, then own that. Admit it. Stop blaming other people. Stop making excuses. Own what you can own. Not asking you to own something that you don't need to own, but just, I brought this on myself because, you know, I got myself in this situation. I got myself fired. You know, I've got a spending problem. Just admit it, own it, and accept that. Proverbs says, you'll never succeed in life. Let this sink in. You'll never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins, your mistakes. You use whatever word you want. It all comes back to sin. Confess them, give them up, then God will show you mercy. Storms tend to lose their power when you own what you can own. That's a hard one to learn. You know, confront the problem. Do what you can do when you face the storms. You know, that's the kind of the second step there. It's what Paul did. Paul said, now I urge you, take some food. You need to survive. They haven't eaten for days, we know from previous scriptures. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. Tendency in the storm is to not take care of yourself. That's pretty normal. We don't eat right. We don't sleep right. We don't get our rest. We start losing perspective on things. God has given Paul a lot of direction along the way and insight, and it gives him practical stuff like this to tell people. You know, Paul told him, he says, we need to lighten the ship some more. You know, he says, untie the rudder, you know, which was pretty common when ships were about to wreck. He goes, you know, cut the anchors. He's preparing them to run this ship aground. God's with them. It wasn't easy, but God got them through. You know, in your storm, you do what you can do, and you trust God. Some people get this squirreled up a lot, and they're like, well, I'm not going to do anything. You know, unless God tells you don't do anything, you do what you can do, but you've got to trust God to do what you can't do. Scripture says that the ship that Paul was on, it hits a sandbar. It hits it fast and furious. Waves are beginning to break the ship apart. You know, it's just busting into pieces. And it says, Paul all of a sudden, I think he took over being the captain of the ship, and he orders those who could swim to jump overboard first and to just head toward land. It says the rest, they're to get on a plank or a piece of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. And I want you to picture this, if you can. The ship's busting because of the sandbar and the waves beating it. People are struggling to get to shore. We know everyone survives because Paul tells us later. Some of you right now, your ship just got busted and it's in pieces. Your ship may not make it, but you can. You can. You know, head toward land. You know, head toward whatever it is God wants you to head toward and just hold tight to God. And I'm not going to soft pedal here. You may have to swim and swim really, really hard. And you may have to dog paddle your way there. And you may have to grab onto some debris along the way to make it. It is the only way you're going to get to shore. It is on those broken pieces for some of you. But you keep praying and you keep fighting and you keep trusting God and listening to God, and you're going to make it. We're all broken here, all of us. Your heart may be broken, but you'll make it. You know, your home may get broken into pieces, but you can make it. You know, financially, you may go broke, but you can make it. You may not know what the future holds, but friends, you can make it. If you trust God, if you're obedient, you can make it through whatever it is you're going through. Because you're going through. You know, when I read that story, and it's really, I hope you'll take time this week and read the story, but it's very interesting because everyone in the story, everyone, is falling apart. Everyone is falling apart in the storm except Paul. Why is that? Well, Paul's confidence wasn't in the captain. It wasn't in the ship. Paul's confidence was in God. Best advice I can give you: put your confidence in God. Christ followers, let the world see. Let the world see God in you when you're in the storm. It's one of the greatest witnesses that you can give people. In fact, I know people in this church, they're changing people's lives, and they've been going through storm after storm after storm, but when you watch them, they're holding tight to God. And people know it. People that don't have faith all of a sudden go, man, if I was going through that, I'd crumble. Maybe there's something to it. God is with you in the storms. And he wants to do something great in your life. Let's bow in prayer together. Our holy God, God, we praise you. You are the God that controls all the storms. You're in control. And God, I know there are people here today that they are getting beaten by a storm. And God, I pray they just continue to have confidence in you, that you'll see them through. God, give them strength. and give them hope. Because you're greater than the storm. God, there are many of us that would stand and give testimony to the storms we've been through and that you have delivered us. And no, it didn't maybe turn out the way we wanted, but you got us through. God, I thank you for that. God, I pray that brothers and sisters here, that they would see those that are going through storms and just pull up tight to them, encourage them, do what they can do to help. God, help us to be a church that does that. God, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. Give us strength in all we face, whatever the situation. God, give us the strength to hold tight to you. And may we honor you with all that we say and all that we do. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. God's people said, amen. Amen. We're going to celebrate in communion today. Just a couple things. We do it different ways sometimes. This is intinction, which means when you come down, there's a wafer. You can leave the wafer whole or you can break it. And then you dip it into the chalice. And the ushers are going to, they'll come down and dismiss you by row to come forward. If you can't come forward, when we start, if you just raise your hand and look behind you, the ushers will bring communion to you. And so, you know, Jesus gave it all up so we could have hope. And he took care of our biggest problem. We talked about that last week, and that is the sin problem in our lives. And he died for us. His body was beaten. His blood spilled. So that we could live free. And so we celebrate that on a regular basis. And we thank God for that. Communion's a time when you can kind of do soul searching and just go, God, I give this stuff up to you today. And it's also a time to celebrate because you are free. Eternity's guaranteed. Your mistakes when you make them, those sins when we don't do what God wants, are washed and we're clean because of Jesus Christ. And so we celebrate that. Let's bless the bread and the cup. God, we thank you that you loved us enough to send your Son. And God, I pray that you would bless this bread, that we would be reminded that you were beaten for us. That you went through enormous pain and agony for us. And the cup representing your blood that was spilled. Ultimately, you die for our sins. And God, we thank you. All these years, I'm still amazed that you could love us that much, that you'd give up your Son. And God, I'm reminded that you walked out of the grave 3 days later. And it was really to just prove to us and to the world that everything you said was true. God, I thank you and I celebrate that every day, every moment. And so today we come and we celebrate those great acts, that great love. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Come and celebrate. Ushers will dismiss you.